Heavenly King, come for the Spirit of Truth, present everywhere and filling all things, the treasure good and giver of life, come and dwell in us, and cleanse us with every impurity, and save our souls, gracious one.
Through the prayers of our Holy Father, Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen. You may be seated. Welcome, everyone. Today, it's our third gathering, our third fellowship, and we will say a few thoughts about humility, and we will read a couple of things from some elders and saints. And if you have any questions, you can always ask, because humility is something that more or less we need it in our everyday life, and without it we struggle. And the problem is not that we struggle, the problem is that if we don't have humility, we just find it very difficult to go towards God and to be connected with God, and then to end up in the eternal life, which is why we were created. So, just a few thoughts to start with. The man who finds excuses cannot repent and cannot pray. So if, when they tell us something, we find excuses to justify ourselves, of course this means that we don't have humility, but it also means that we cannot repent. And the person who does not have repentance cannot pray. If we don't feel guilty about what we've done, then our prayer, it's like useless. We can't connect with our Creator. Only the humble person can love God. But even if you want to love God or the other people, you have to empty yourself. There is no other way to love others if you don't empty yourself. What I'm trying to say is that when we love someone, we cannot demand love in return. So we can't say to someone, I love you, and because I love you, you have to be with me for the rest of your life. Or, I love you, my child, so you have to marry this and this person. Or, I love you, so can you help me with this? Because this is like spiritual abuse, it's like psychological abuse, it's like we try to blackmail people to do what we want. And someone used to say, if you love me and you want me to do things, I think I'm better off if you don't love me, because then I'm free. So to be able to love others, we have to be truly humble. And that means that we will love someone, we will love God, but we will not ask anything in return. And this means that if the person that we love wants to do something different than what we think is right, then he or she is free to do what they want to. If we don't let them, it means that we don't love them. It means that we love ourselves and we want them for ourselves. And this is selfishness. This is not love. And once someone wanted to become a monk, and his mother was telling him, if you become a monk, I will commit suicide. And he told her, but if I don't become a monk, I will commit suicide. So choose who has to commit suicide. It's not that they would commit suicide. It was like a joke, but it was serious. And then he said to his mother, anyway, even if you do commit suicide, you have less years in front of you, so it's probably better if I go to the monastery. And he ended up in the monastery, and his mother didn't commit suicide. And now he's a bishop. Anyway, that's just an example to show you that our love cannot be depressing. Our love cannot be like a bear hug, because then it's like we don't care about the others, but we only care about expressing our love or making others respect our love. And this is not a humble thing. This is a very, very selfish thing. Also, we should look where we are to blame and not where we are to blame the others. Like if someone does something, we should look into our own mistakes and not try to blame the others. The Gospel says they are blessed, the ones that they poor in the spirit. And blessed here means it's like the highest form of joy. Blessed are the poor in the spirit, meaning the humble ones. Now, something that we all come across in our everyday life is anger. Anger is an expression of pride. And also if we don't have patience and if we can't stand someone. And if we manage our anger, it means that we put others first, and it means that we go towards humility. And sometimes when they tell us something, it's so difficult not to answer, and it's so difficult to keep our mouth shut, that there is a story from the monks of the desert, and the story goes like this. So it was a monk, and his brother told him something that insulted him, and he shut his mouth and he said nothing, and after a little bit he spat blood, and they asked him, what is this blood, where is this blood coming from? And he said, this is the insult that I just received, and I forced myself not to talk. And this actually has happened in real life as well. So it's not just a story. When we try not to talk back, when we try to stay humble, sometimes is as difficult as spitting blood. That's how much difficulty we go through to do this. Also, the humble person does never despair, because he never hopes in himself, and he never thinks that there is something that God cannot do, and he always has his hope to God, and he is not lost in his sensitivity. Some people are very sensitive, and they want others to understand that they're sensitive, so that they will attract attention, but that's not a humble thing to do. That's something that goes around our ego. We want others to focus on us. The humble person focuses on the others and God and not on himself. And the humble person is very careful, does not tempt himself. So if you know that by going somewhere or by doing something, this will be very tempting for you, this is not a humble thing to do. This is a risk that you take, and it means that you don't take your spiritual life seriously and you're not humble. And if we are risking things, then it means that we are proud. The humble person, it's easy to be governed. You don't have to pull him like a donkey that you can't get him where you want to. And the humble person, it's easy to live with. He doesn't have, he is easy to live with, and this is not a weakness, but this is self-control. It's easy to judge others, as we said, especially to judge others that they have authority. And this could be priests, bishops, everyone around us. But as we mentioned before, we never think of our own responsibilities. And I want to explain this a little bit better. So we see something that is bad, someone does something bad, or someone does not react when he should have. And this person has a position. could be a priest, a bishop, it could be a man in authority in our work or anything else. It's very easy and very tempting for us to judge this person, but we never thought that if we ourselves had prepared ourselves the right way, then God could have used us for this position. So, let's say that there is a person that judges a bishop. But if this person had a careful life, then God could have given this person this position. And instead of the church to have to go through this bishop that is responsible, for an example, the person who is judging now, if he was better and if he was close to God, God would have chosen him and things for the church would have been better. But it's easy for us to judge others instead of realizing that the reason why our authorities are such and such is because that's what we deserve. That's what the gospel says. Every authority is given from above. And if we don't take our own responsibilities to be useful to God and to others, we deserve such authorities. And we can't blame them because at the end of the day, it's our fault that God could not find someone better. If we were better, God could have chosen us and used us in the other person's position. And let's say that a woman judges a man and a woman judges a bishop or something like this, and we could say, but a woman could not be a bishop. Yes. But if this woman prepares her children the right way, then her children could not only be bishops, but they could be saints. And that's our responsibility. So instead of looking around us to find responsibilities for things that are happening in the church and outside at work, we have to look inside us and realize that if we play our role correctly, then the others are not to blame. So if we don't teach our children as they grow up to go for confession, to go for Holy Communion, to love God and to help their fellow men and to learn how to share, then of course we won't have good leaders in the future, and the responsibility falls on us and not on the ones that they take the leaderships. Also, when someone has the skills and is asked to take a position, it's not a humble thing to refuse this position by saying that I'm too humble for this, I can't do it, pretending that he is humble. And I will give you an example. We know that the Mother of God, Theotokos, he was the most humble person on earth, and that's why she ended up giving birth to Christ, and that's why the fathers of the church, they say that she is second after the Holy Trinity. Now, when the Archangel Gabriel went to her and asked her to become the Mother of God, she could have said, I'm human, I'm a humble person, I can't do it. This would have cost all of us our salvation. Just this one no that the Virgin Mary could have said. But she didn't say yes or no. She said, whatever is God's will, that's what should happen. And that's what happened. So, on a year, Virgin Mary emptied herself to be able to be filled up with the Holy Spirit. And she did not put her opinion about herself, and she did not put her knowledge about what usually happens in the humankind. Because what happened was first and only time that ever happened, the God to be incarnated. She did not put her knowledge as a border between her and God. She just let God use her the way he thought it was right. And Christ was born. So sometimes rejecting things by saying we are humble, it actually indicates ego and it indicates pride, and it's not a humble thing. There was a father once, and he went for a sort of a confession to an elder, and he told him he was crying, and he was telling him that because of my ego, because of my pride, my kids do not behave well. And I don't know if this was the case, but it's something that we should definitely think about. If our example in the family is humble enough to inspire our kids, and if our example in the family is humble enough to have the strength to absorb, to attract God's grace in our family. To be humble doesn't mean to always do humble-looking things, but it means to be obedient to God, as we said before, and to our spiritual father and to the church, and to follow our conscience. If we don't do so, then the one thing brings the other, and our conscience will be hard as rock, and then our conscience will not judge us anymore, and it won't be easy for us to realize what the right thing to do is. Whatever the salt is for the food, this is what humility is for all the virtues. If someone does not have humility, cannot go close to any of the virtues. For those that do iconography, I would say that humility is like the base color. It's the first color that we put on the clothes or on the face, and on top of it we can build everything. If this is not done accurately, if this is not done correctly, the rest that we build on it, the foundation, if the foundation is not correct, the rest does not look as it should be, and it's very difficult to fix afterwards. I will read to you a few things from some fathers of the church, but before I do this, I don't know if anyone has any questions so far. Maybe I'll read a few things and then we'll see. So someone said to Saint Paisios once, Yeroda, at some point Abba Isaac says that humility comes once one has acquired virtues. Could it be that you did not understand it correctly? If a person does not have humility, no virtue can come near him, said Yerodas. So in other words, said this person, Yeroda, does one who has humility have all the other virtues? Well, of course, the humble person has all the spiritual fragrances, simplicity, meekness, unconditional love, godness, forbearance, sacrifice, obedience. Since he has spiritually poverty, he also enjoys the fullness of spiritual wealth. He is also devout and silent, and this is why he has kingship with the most blessed Virgin Mary, the Theotokos, who had great humility. Even though she carried God incarnate in her womb, she did not speak out at all until Christ himself spoke at the beginning of his public ministry when he was 30. So we see here about the humility of the Mother of God, but we also see about the humility of Christ, who, although he was God, he did not try to show off anything. And he did not talk, he did not start his public mission until he was 30 years old. And ourselves, we're always impatient and we want things to be done yesterday, but God himself, he was waiting to find the only person worthy of himself to be incarnated, which was the Theotokos, And this took him centuries. And once he found Panagia Theotokos, he was waiting 9 months in her womb and then 30 years until he would start preaching. And then he preached for only 3 years. And that was it. And we want to do everything at once, and we don't have patience for anything, and we think that this is the right thing to do. But if we don't understand that patience and humility is above rushing and doing things the right way, the way we think is right, then whatever we will do, it won't have great results. So, I'll read to you something else. To know God is to be humble as He is humble. The Lord Himself calls us to follow Him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me that I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. If we are to know the mysteries of the Son of God, we must have the meek and humble heart of the Lord Jesus. Unless we become meek and humble, we shall remain unknown by Him and alienated from His divine mysteries. The perpetual concern of the saints is to abide before Christ in humility of heart. They have learned that only the humble in heart can receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They have understood the twofold movement of our Lord, downwards in His kenosis, meaning to empty Himself, and then upwards. They strive to abase themselves as their strength allows, to submit themselves to every obedience of men for the Lord's sake, knowing that He will exalt them in due time. And of course, we can try to be humble, but the real humility, we could say that it's a gift from God. Like when St. Silwan experienced Jesus, he felt in his heart the humility of God, of Jesus, and that's when you can understand that it doesn't matter what happens, it doesn't matter what they do to you, it doesn't matter if you're healthy or not, nothing really matters. What really matters is to stay in this humble state expecting God, and when you are in this humble state expecting God and living for Him and Him alone, then He will definitely come, and then what you will experience from this life will be indescribable. And someone asked once Saint Paisios, how long do we need to get God's grace? Some people, they might live all their life spiritually, thinking that they live spiritually, and they will do a lot of askesis, a lot of strict life, and they might think that they do something, that they ask someone, but they might never receive God's grace. And some others, they might receive God's grace straight away if they are humble. If the man becomes humble, within a minute can be dressed up with the divine grace and become an angel and enter heaven. But if he becomes proud, within a second, he could lose everything. That's what happened to the devil, who was an angel, and within an instant he lost everything and he became the devil. So if the man wants to, he can become a sheep. But if he doesn't want to, he becomes a goat. And that's up to us. So the grace goes to the humble person. And that's where the Spirit of God rests. And we said in our previous fellowship, something that we have to mention again because it's extremely important. So when we realize that the benefit of the ones that we love, it's not keeping them close to us, we should let them follow their paths. And this has to do with the spiritual fathers. As we said, St. John the Forerunner, once he realized that Christ was the one, he sent all his apostles, all his disciples. St. John the Forerunner gave all his disciples to Christ, and they were his first apostles. It's the same with our children. We can't keep our children for ourselves. We have to give them to God one way or another. It doesn't matter if they will create a family. It doesn't matter if they will become monks or nuns. It doesn't matter if they will become priests or if they will go for a mission. It doesn't matter. What really matters is that we have to give our children to God. God gave us our children. We're responsible for their upbringing, but it doesn't mean that we owe them. And that's why we can't stop them from following Christ, and that's why we should give them the tools to follow Christ. Because if we don't teach them how to follow Christ, it's our fault if when they become adults they go and they get married in a park without wanting to do anything with the church, and they don't get married to Christian people, and after that, that was it. Your grandchildren, they will have nothing to do with the church, not wanting anything to do with God, and that's the end of the story for the Christianity in your families. Do you have any questions so far? It's not an easy thing to be humble, and we all have to try, but if we don't, it's like we can't build anything spiritual in our lives without it. It's extremely important. I'll read to you a few more things from St. Paisios because he talks about humility a lot. Yereda, how is humility cultivated? And he answers, humility is cultivated through philotimo. Philotimo is a very difficult word to explain. Anybody can enlighten us as to what philotimo is, because it's very difficult to explain it. Yes?
Yeah. I don't really know, but I read recently that it could be translated as eager goodness.
How'd you say it?
Eager goodness. So,
give us an example.
Doing things out of love and not expecting anything.
Yes.
Constantly.
Yes. Anyone else with something different? Wait. And we have also.
Yes. Well, the word itself translates into a friend of honor. So it's to maybe do the honourable thing without expectation of anything after.
Yes, but philotimo, see, the honour sometimes hides some pride. When the philotimo doesn't, the philotimo is something deep that you do it out of love. Peter?
Is it someone that loves doing what the other people have said? He's a lover of doing things out of love, not expecting something in return.
It is. Anyway, all these things and even more than that, the English language doesn't have a word for philotimo. And although the etymologically it means philosoph to me, friend of honor, that's not what it means. It means to be motivated to do something out of goodness, out of wanting to make someone happy, out of wanting to help others, to get out of your way to help someone. So Saint Paisius said, humility is cultivated through philotimo, and it is also cultivated through the manure of our failures. It all depends. A person with philotimo attributes all of his good traits to God. He acknowledges the many benefactions of God, realizes that he has not responded appropriately, is humbled and constantly praises God. The more he is humbled and praises God, the more he is showered with divine grace. This is voluntary humility. Involuntary humility, on the other hand, is the type of humility brought about by long-term falls into sins. Naturally, voluntary humility has much greater value than involuntary humility. It resembles a field with good soil, wherein the trees bear fruit without need of fertilizers or manure, and their fruit is delicious. Involuntary humility resembles a field with poor soil, and trees of which, in order to bear fruit, require both fertilizer and manure, yet still do not give fruit as delicious. So what Saint Paisius tries to tell us is that it's worth ourselves to try and humble ourselves to help others in every aspect of our lives, because if not, God allows the proud people to fall. And we'll probably talk about it later on again, but the reason of our falls a lot of times is our pride, and we don't know why we fell, but it is because of our pride that God lets us fall in other things. Any questions so far?
So are you saying that involuntary humility is not good? But yet if someone falls because of pride and probably realizes it, like, can he or can she grow in humility from there? Can she grow, like, in humility from there? Like,
yes, we can use our faults to gain humility. We can use everything. It's like even your sins, you can use them to get humility and experience and move on and become a better person. But why do you need to fall when by humbling yourself you don't need to fall and you will get way further? Does it make any sense? We can fall and become humble, but we don't need to fall. If we humble ourselves, we don't need to fall, and we will become more spiritual by when we fall and we become humble. Like, there are saints that they did things that they were not right. So by falling, then they realized that what they did was wrong, and they humbled themselves and they became even greater saints. But you don't need to go through all this pain. By humbling yourself with your own will, you can become great like the Virgin Mary did without falling into anything. Does this make any sense? But you can use both. But why going through the pain of falling when you can become great without all this pain? By humbling yourself.
So it's not necessarily a bad thing, even if you had to fall.
No, it's not, because we, in our church we have forgiveness. You're forgiven as soon as you repent. But why do you have to fall when you don't have to? And then it's easier. Does it make any sense? Any? Yes?
Yeruda, can you give us an example of our pride that sometimes makes us fall?
I will keep reading, and that's the answer to your question. So someone said to Elder St. Paisios, Yeruda, I'm in a very difficult position. I have carnal thoughts and plunge into sorrow. I am worried that I will never recover. Have courage, my good child, and Christ will prevail in the end. In essence, it is not so much the fault of our poor flesh as it is our pride. As a matter of fact, you have many skills which God has naturally given you, but because you are somewhat negligent and careless, the enemy finds the opportunity to exploit your abilities and sends you reeling in pride. And while you could have washed your face with tears of gladness and gratitude towards God, instead you wash it with bitter tears of pain and worry. So think. If we do not become humble voluntarily, we will be humbled involuntarily, because the good God loves us. Take courage, therefore, my child, and Christ will prevail. It is a storm that will pass and bring many good things in its wake. You will come to know yourself better. You will be obliged to become humble, and according to the spiritual laws, the grace of God, which was previously obstructed by pride, will now be obliged to come to you. So, someone falls into carnal sins or carnal thoughts, and this is the example, and this is because of pride, and this is because someone does not take care of his spiritual life. I don't know if this answers the question.
Weaknesses. We have to do everything we can in order to, like,
yes,
heal,
yes,
the weaknesses and go around them. So, and we have to accept this, because if we don't accept it, then this means that we are proud.
Yes. And having a careful life, this is humility. As we said before, if you know that by going somewhere you will be tempted, don't think that you're strong enough. Just avoid the temptation, and that's a humble thing to do, and you will have your reward. If you think that by speaking to someone you will get angry, don't go there.
But on this, actually I was going to say that sometimes, yeah, there are people that we don't like, but we don't get along with them. And sometimes you say to yourself, I have to avoid them, but if you think about it, after, you might have thoughts that by avoiding them, you're not doing the right thing. But actually the right thing is to avoid them, because in this way you're not going to fall.
You can never win against your thoughts. Regardless what you think of doing, your thoughts, the logismi, the tempter will give you thoughts that they will make the waters very foggy, and you won't be able to realize what's right and what's wrong. But if you try and do what you think is the most humble thing, and if you try to do what you think is the most peaceful thing inside you, that's the answer to what you should be doing, and that's the humble thing, and that's how you avoid the temptation, and that's how God will reward you.
Yeah, I can ask a question. What's the best way to cultivate humility in kids? Obviously some kids, like my own, some are more predisposed to be humble, others not so. What's the best way to cultivate the humility in the kids? Is it by example of the parents? Presumably so.
I would say the example is very important, but I heard a story once which was very impressive. It was a, I don't know if he was a priest or not, but he had two sons and he didn't know how to deal with them because he wanted them to go close to God, but at the same time he couldn't really tell them to, otherwise they could react. So what he was doing, once they were falling asleep, instead of him going to bed, he would sit next to their bed and pray to God for their salvation. And then God helped these kids. So if you do everything in your power, give them the right example and explain to them why mom and dad does this. And when you see that they do something which is proud, explain to them, this is not a good thing. This is not something that will get you closer to God. This is something that will, you will have difficulties in your life if you deal with things like that. And the person who's humble and they tell him something and he doesn't reply, he doesn't answer back, it's not a weak person. They have to understand that. When Jesus was not replying to whatever they were accusing him, it's not because he was weak. It's because he knew what he was doing. But that's also a humble thing to do. And if you give them the right example, if you give them, if you keep them close to confession, which is a humbling thing, and Holy Communion, which is receiving the King of all, then your kids, they will pick it up. And you will be impressed. Because kids have a lot of love, if you motivate their love, they can understand that it's a good thing to be humble. Yeah. But every character, every kid has a different character. We know that. And we have to work a little bit differently with every kid. But these are the general things that they should be working for everyone. Any other questions?
Just further in the real life, the more you humble, the more you seem to be weak. And the more you get attacked, the more you get actually abused, if you like, bullied. So how do you get that real balance between the two? I mean, you don't want to be weak, but at the same time, you're trying to be humble. And the more you humble are, the more you're attacked.
Being humble does not mean that you are weak. We just said that. But we have to have some limits when people, they try to hurt our families. And we said something about it in the past. But yes, what we could say here is that if there is someone that tries to hurt your family, you have to protect your family. But you can do it in a humble way. So if someone, let's say that that's for the younger people, if someone goes out and someone else tries to start a fight, to protect your friends, you don't need to fight. You can just walk away. They might call you names, they might whatever, but walking away is the safest and most humble thing to do. But when it comes to, like, at work, when someone is trying to hurt your job, and you have to do what you have to do to protect your job and your income, to protect your family. But you don't need to do it in a proud way. You don't need to get into a fight. You do what you have to do in a very humble way, in a peaceful way, and in a way that is not a reaction to their action. It's something which is after prayer, after deep consideration of what you should be doing, and after finding it as the most peaceful in your heart to do. And then God will be with you. Anything else?
Yerinda, if we'd said that we wanted to acquire humility, what practical sort of steps would you take, or would you suggest that we take to acquire humility?
Saint Paisius says, I've got it here somewhere, but he says that, let's say that someone tells you one word and you find it insulting, instead of answering with two words, just keep your mouth shut. That's one example, right? And this is the mentality behind what to do in order to become more humble. So God will bring us opportunities in our lives that people, they will say things, people, they will do things to us, and they are hurtful. They are things that if we wanted to be just, like if we wanted to be, to keep our spots, keep our position, we should react and say something and do something. But if you push yourself and you do the humble thing, then this is how you get up, you end up becoming more humble. But it's easy you yourself to say for yourself, I'm not worthy, I'm not spiritual enough, I'm not this, I'm not that. And it's easier than the next thing that I will say. So it's easier when someone that you love does something to you to forgive them because you love them. But when someone that you dislike does something small to you, you can be furious. This is pure pride. And you have to fight it. And you have to realize that even the scratch that the person that you dislike does to you, it's not for you to get upset, to get angry, to start saying things and start a whole process of thinking about this person, how to get your revenge or anything, because then you just fell into the trap. So in our everyday life, there will be things that they will force us to react in a proud way, and if we push ourselves not to, that's when we become more spiritual.
Yeruda, but someone might say, someone who hasn't experienced the grace of God and the fruits of the humility, that being humble actually is quite depressing.
Depressing?
Yes. Or someone might say, but okay, we know that we have to be good people, good Christians, but if you think about it, are Christians always the ones that they have to be at the bottom and the others have to step on them? So what are we going to say to these people and to ourselves sometimes?
If we feel depressed from being humble, it means that we don't know what humility can give us. Because, for example, as we said before, Jesus was waiting for thousands of years to find a person worthy of himself, Panagia, Virgin Mary. Then he waited 9 months in her womb. Then he waited 30 years to start preaching. And then we see him at the end of his mission, when he was 33 years old, he went and he washed his disciples' feet. How humbling is this? Do you think he was depressed? He was always one with his Father, meaning he was never without his divine joy. But he knew where he was coming and where he was going to. He knew why he was doing this. He knew that the disciple to wash, the master to wash his disciples' feet is not a humbling thing to do, but it's a lesson that if these people don't learn, the humanity cannot go forward. So when someone does something to you by saying, in the monastic expressions we say evlogison and we move on, so like forgive me and we move on, it's not to be depressed, it's to be happy because God gave you the opportunity to be humble, and this is a crown for you in heaven. And this is not to make you depressed. If you're depressed, you have problems. It means that you have to be happy because as hurtful as it is, it's very rewarding. It's like you get, you have a flu and you have to drink syrup that it's disgusting. But if you don't, you will be worse. When if you do, you have to be happy that you go through this disgusting experience because you will be better. So bitter things are useful, and we should not be sad about it because that's how it is.
Sometimes it's the tempter or our ego that makes us feel depressed, sad.
We have to take a step back and think, alright, they insult me. And I'm not saying that I'm doing this, but that's how it should be. Or they tell me something that makes me like very upset. Couple of deep breaths, couple of times to say Jesus prayer, and think, what have I lost? Is my eternal position still there waiting for me? It is. Who cares? No one can take away your soul from you unless you give it to the devil. And when you fall into these traps, you give your soul to the devil. That's what you do. You don't fight the person who fights you, because behind this person that fights you is the devil. And the devil makes this person fall. And instead of you realizing that he's a victim and feel sorry for him, you get upset with him, so you fall as well. And then, if you realize this, why being depressed by approaching the things the right way, the winning way? It's all how you think. It's all the way you deal with it. Yeah.
And when we think that I have to say something because otherwise the other person is not going to learn, what do we do?
If it's your position to teach, say something. But if it's not your position to teach, then pray for the other person. And if the other person is capable of learning, God will teach him. If the other person is not capable of learning, if you try to teach him, you will just create a worse reaction to your reaction. Because he had the action, you have a reaction, and then there is a second reaction, which will be even worse. And it ends nowhere. It just gets, it gets very, very messy. It doesn't stop. And then you lose your peace.
Is it the anger sometimes that we feel always an indication of pride? When we see something, for example, and we feel strongly about it, and we may feel angry about it at some stage, is it always pride because we are proud?
Saint Paisios says that anger is an indication of pride. Now, anger might be coming from other sources as well, like let's say someone is pregnant, not you, and the her hormones are all over the place. That's a natural reason. But I believe that the tempter is using the way that our heart would go and sends it the easier. I don't know if this makes any sense. So if someone inside him is generally a humble person, you will see that it will be very difficult for this person to get upset. And I will give you an example from the Desert Fathers again. So there were two brothers in Christ, two monks, that because they could never fight, they thought, all right, let's see how it is to have an argument. They could never fight between them, because if the smallest thing was happening, they were both saying straight away, forgive me, and that was it. That was the end of the story, without holding it back, without thinking anything about it afterwards. And this was the end of the story. So they said, we have this item. I will say it's mine, you will say it's yours, and we will create an argument, just to see how it is to create an argument, because they couldn't fight. So the first said, this item is mine. And the other one said, no, this item is mine. And then the first one said, okay, if it's yours, take it. And that was the end of the story. So what I'm trying to say is that we can find excuses for our anger, but at the end of the story, at the end, yes, we have to be humble enough to realize that if we were humble, we would not get upset in the first place.
So, I guess what I'm trying to ask is, when we see something around us happening that we don't agree with, that we think is wrong, we may get upset about it. Not necessarily wanting to do something about it, but we see something that we think is wrong. And I guess, when is it that it comes...
I'm not telling you not to take action, but what I'm telling you is when you're taking action, to maintain your peace. There is a difference there. Anger has nothing to do with your peace. If you're angry, you lost your peace. But you have to teach your child, if you have to take a position in the church against abortions, you have to do it. But you do it without losing your peace, and knowing that you do your very, very best, but God is above everything. If He wants this law not to get through, it won't get through. If He allows this law to get through, if God allows it, who are we to do anything? Because we tried already, we can't do anything. Does this answer your question?